What's going on, everybody? This is Matt from The Tangent. Today's episode is actually longer than 30 minutes. So if you are listening on the radio, you will hear the 30 minutes. However, you will have the opportunity to download it in full as a podcast later on. And I will remind you of that at the end of the episode. I hope you enjoy this week's episode of The Tangent. So we were supposed to have an interview today, but we had some technical difficulties.
That'll happen every once in a while.
So essentially, you were
in
forced.
This technological age of ours.
You were forced to talk to only me.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that.
Terribly unfortunate.
No, I haven't had the chance to sit down and just have a you conversation in a long time. So it's kind of nice. Yeah. I appreciate the opportunity to just talk to you, Matthew.
Well, then, man, am I happy to, you know, please you with this situation. So on that happy note, we decided to talk about Good Friday.
Well, you know, it's coming up. And actually,
it's coming up, and this will air on radio
air
on Good Friday.
Yeah. I think
it is now, folks.
So here's the thing that I'm a little bit torn about, actually, as I think about this. I like the idea of some kind of a reflection on Good Friday and the importance of the day itself. But I think I get spoiled. So as a priest, I get really spoiled because the entirety of my Good Friday is preparing for and then executing the different liturgies and devotional activities that come with Good Friday. So I don't really know what a Good Friday is like for most people, because I start here at the parish. I've got morning prayer at 8:30. At noon, we'll have the Stations of the Cross. At 3 o'clock, we'll have the celebration of the Passion. And then at 7 o'clock, we'll have Tenebrae. And so the whole day is just punctuated by these opportunities for prayer.
Right.
And outside of that, with all the different preparations that you have to do, it's a very quiet and low-key day. So on Good Friday, typically the TV doesn't go on. I'm not listening to music. I'm not listening to podcasts or anything like that. Certainly not the radio. And I'm almost definitely not getting in the car, where I'd be probably most likely to listen to the radio. So
right.
The part of me that's a little bit torn here is like, I don't really know what to record for people about Good Friday, because I wouldn't be listening to anything on Good Friday most days.
Right.
Is that weird?
Right. So,
and I don't want to condemn anybody for listening to the radio on Good Friday either.
Nor do we think you should shut this off.
No, I want you to listen. I think it's good. And this is the other interesting thing. Like, my secretary is actually asking me this the other day. She said, why is it that the Triduum, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, like, why don't we treat those the way that we treat holy days of obligation? I thought that was a fascinating idea, because Good Friday, I mean, of all days to be in church, Good Friday really makes so much sense. Like, this is a day we ought to be remembering our Lord's Passion. We ought to be in church on Good Friday. And I know it's not always possible for everyone because of the fact that they might have to work, or just their family situation and everything. But man, it really seems like it makes perfect sense to me. Why isn't holy?
That's the day to make. Today is the day, right, as Good Friday, to make the extra effort.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's an important thing to think about, that this is the day when the church remembers, memorializes, celebrates the gift of salvation that's won for us by Christ on the cross. And so of the holy days of the year, it's in the top three. That's why we have the Triduum.
It's in the top three. You know, so I think I can give you a little bit of insight into a good Friday, as someone who has had good Fridays and bad Good Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll start with the bad, because I think that will also just help to illustrate the good, right? A bad Good Friday is a distracted Good Friday.
Yeah.
At least in my opinion.
Okay.
And I don't necessarily mean work, because for the most part, my employment has been with Catholic companies or, you know, Catholic schools. And so I've always been off on Good Friday. So what I'm saying is I have no excuse. But rather, right, it's just a day that you're supposed to spend in prayer. And it is easy to go on Instagram instead.
Mm.
And it's like, the thing is, it's basically the problem that faces like every day, you know? So like on your day off, like to give an illustration, right? And I think we spoke about it with a guest way early in the tangent. It was like in the first top. It was in the first 10 episodes we did.
Okay.
I'm forgetting his name.
That's okay.
But we talked about Legos. Do you remember who it was?
Oh, that was with Kevin O'Neill.
Kevin O'Neill. I couldn't remember his first name. Yeah. Kevin. And he talked about how, you know, he during the week he would have his schedule. You know.
Yeah.
And then the weekends would come, and on the weekends, he would go on his phone. And so the day he was more free was the day he spent not doing the things he should have been doing. Whereas he had, like, his schedule was so tight that he was able to fit prayer in, like,
yeah,
on the busy weekday.
Right, right.
So, you know, similar to that, I think Good Friday turns into this day that, like, you can treat like vacation. Or I have treated like vacation in the past, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And obviously, that's a bad Good Friday. You know what I mean? It's a day of penance.
Right. It's awesome if you've got the day off from work, but it's not a day of
rest.
It's not a day of rest.
Right.
It really is a day of prayer. Like, the work that we have to do that day is to pray, is to remember, and is to join ourselves to Christ on the cross.
Yes, exactly.
There's this great tradition of keeping silence from noon to 3 p.m.,
Wow, really?
Yeah. So in like in monastic houses and things like that, they would have a grand silence, but in the middle of the day, typically in a monastery, grand silence is only something that happens at night, but they would do this profound silence from noon to 3 p.m. for the hours that our Lord was on the cross. And so trying to keep that silence is a really powerful experience.
I wonder how that will work.
With a baby?
For me this year. So I would love to try that this year. I'm serious because I'm thinking through it, you know, live, I guess, but I think it's relatable, right? So, like, I'm going to Pittsburgh for Easter this year.
Okay.
You know, and so we're going to drive up Thursday morning so we can be there in time for the liturgy Thursday night,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then basically get to experience the Triduum with family up there. But it's also, you know, I mean, granted, we have a baby, you know, but like, it's also, well, we haven't seen our family in a while, you know? And so again, it's tempting to treat it like a vacation. And like, I'm noticing this theme where I'm tempted to treat things like vacation that aren't vacation.
Well, all right. So on that point, you've got a really interesting idea here. One of the things that the church encourages for the Triduum, for Holy Thursday, mm-hmm. Good Friday, and Holy Saturday, is that if you're going to be celebrating them, to try as best you can to celebrate them in the same place. So to go to the Mass of the Lord's Supper at this parish or at this church, and to also then go to the celebration of the Lord's Passion there, to go to the Easter Vigil there, and so that your celebration of these holiest of days takes place sort of in one spot, meaning you're not all over the place. You're not traveling around. You're not going to many different places and just kind of seeing the sights. Now, that can get a little bit dicey. Like I was, when I was first ordained a priest and I was back finishing my degree in Rome, I had a group come over during Holy Week for a pilgrimage. And so we had the Mass of the Lord's Supper actually at the seminary, and then we celebrated Good Friday at a shrine, and then we went to the Easter Vigil at St. Peter's Basilica. So we kind of bounced around.
Right.
But like, we were all in Rome. That was the important thing. We were staying in Rome for these these celebrations. And I think if you're going to these different places, if you're visiting, you know, on a pilgrimage like that, that's one thing. But if you're going to be in a place, like you're visiting family in Pittsburgh, so to go to one church, and that's it. That's the place that you're going to observe these highest of holy days that we have as Catholics. It can help to break that vacation mentality just a little bit. Like, while I'm here, while we're in this place, this is the spot that we go to pray. And that's like actually just good wisdom for the rest of the year too. It's important to have like a place where prayer happens. It doesn't mean that we can't pray everywhere we are. Of course we can. You can pray in the car. You can pray while you're taking a walk. You can pray anywhere. Of course, God is present there. But there's something, there's a reason that we go to sacred spaces. There's a reason that we go to an adoration chapel. Or even in the home, there's a reason that a lot of people set up like a prayer corner. This is the spot where as a family, we're gonna pause to pray. Because it helps you to break out of that other space. And then when you're a guest, when you're traveling, you can't help but feel like you're on vacation.
Right.
Even if you're traveling for business or for something that's not just fun, like I'm in a different place, so my whole routine is thrown off. All the more reason then that finding that one church that you're going to go to is like, okay, this is how I will get a break from the visiting. This is how I'll get a break from that part that feels a little bit more like just hanging out.
And to that point, I think, right, because to me, right, this conversation is helpful because it's actually just about practical wisdom, you know? And so how does one, you know, traveling or not, how does one maintain practices like this? Well, by planning, obviously, right? And planning goes a far way so far as choosing a church goes. Mm-hmm. But also, I'm certainly not the only one, you know, who will be spending time, one, with family they don't see on a daily basis, or two, even just spending time with the family I do see on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Right. And so it would be really helpful for me to say to Renee, hey, I'm thinking of keeping this 3-hour silence from noon to 3, and I want to know if you want to do it with me.
Yeah.
Right? Because it'll be really hard to keep silence if Renee is not planning on keeping silence from noon to 3, because I am like the primary person she talks to, you know? And so like us all being on the same page, and of course it goes beyond Renee if I'm in Pittsburgh, right? But like the point being, like, if you've got your group, you know, and you like say like I know Matt Frad, you know,
personally
2 years ago or maybe last year. Who?
Personally? Oh, you know that he did something a year ago, 2 years ago.
Personally. Okay. We're one away from him. We're best friends with Scott Hahn on the show.
That's right.
So
that's right.
We're one away. But he did a 40-hour fast.
Yeah.
From Good Friday, I think 5 p.m. Good Friday or something like that, till the Triduum.
Yeah.
Or the Vigil, rather. Sorry. But it's like, imagine how difficult it would have been for him to do that, you know, if basically like on Friday night, Cameron Frad had been like, here's dinner, you know, like it's just an immediate temptation to break from that. And it's just a practical thing, like having everybody on the same page.
Yeah.
So I would encourage anyone listening to, you know, make some plans with the people that they will be, I don't know, but I guess celebrating the Triduum with, right?
Yeah,
because I only say I guess because do you celebrate Good Friday?
Yeah, we do. You know? But I think we have to understand what the word celebrate means in this context, right? So there's celebration that's like joyful and we've got decorations and we're going kind of wild. And then there's also celebrating, which is it's the observance of these days.
Right.
And
one does not say happy Good Friday.
Correct. And yet we can call it the celebration of the Lord's passion because we are called to a certain gratitude and even to a certain joy at the passion, that this is the depth of God's love for us, that he would give his son for the salvation of the world. There's a certain joy that can come.
It's the sign of God's glory.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a way in which it's appropriate to call it celebration. But, you know, I just love the idea of you
just
being silent for 3 hours.
Did anybody ever say to you, happy Ash Wednesday?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Did you laugh or keep a straight face?
You get happy Ash Wednesday. It's like, yeah, it's the one day a year that people ask me to rub dirt on their faces. It's a great day for me, you know?
Right. Happy Ash Wednesday. You're going to die one day.
Yeah, exactly. No, I was saying, I like the idea of you being silent for 3 hours. In the years that I've known you, I've never envisioned that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's ever happened.
It probably hasn't. But see, here's the thing: keeping silence can be something great, just as a practice to enter more deeply into prayer and everything. And there's like there's a way of keeping silence, and that way of keeping silence might be not talking. That way of keeping silence might be for those 3 hours: no music, no TV, no internet. So it might not be a literal silence. It might be more like entering into the spirit of silence. So we're not going to amuse ourselves with these other activities. We are going to, try to focus our attention on spiritual conversation, on spiritual reading, on preparing to go to the celebration of the Lord's Passion at 3 p.m. And so that might mean you've got to factor in the time it takes you to get to the church, getting there early so that you have a little bit of time to prepare. So, I mean, you could leave at 2 p.m., go over to the church, let's say it takes you 20 minutes to get to the church, and just have some time in silence in the church, and the church will be empty. That's the, oh man, there's nothing better than going into a church on Good Friday when it's empty because the tabernacle is empty. And there's something so, so weird about it.
Yeah, it's really profound.
Yeah,
too.
That you're in this time of silence. Part of what I love about the Triduum is from the altar of repose on Holy Thursday night, into Good Friday, there's this change. The altar of repose disappears, right? And quite rightly, because the altar of repose symbolizes Christ in the garden. But then Christ is arrested and he's taken out of the garden. So the garden goes away and we get rid of that. And then it's just the empty tabernacle. And it's this time when there's nothing else there. But we're in this place and you can't help but feel this longing for Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Now, we have to keep Holy Communion. So we keep the Eucharist that was placed in that altar of repose is then kept in a suitable place, but kind of secretly.